Some of you might remember an old television program called Yes Minister. Yes Minister took a satirical look at how government really worked. In one episode, a new hospital was awarded an efficiency prize, and it was later discovered to have 500 administrators and no patients. I was thinking about churches and Christian communities when I remembered this episode. Because it's impossible to be seriously involved in a church or a Christian community without coming up against the reality of sick and wounded people. And so in church and in every community, you'll hear something like this. If only those who aren't really serious about their faith, or who don't pull their weight, or who misunderstand our God, or who are bitter and poisonous and cannot forgive, or who don't control their children, or who cripple every process, or, well, whatever their problem, if only they weren't here, then the gathering would truly form the body of Christ and not this pale and broken imitation. We say and think these things because church communities are quite frankly often awful, and they're often filled with awful people. They all fail because we are all human. We all get scared and angry and anxious. And when we gather in groups, we can intensify this. And a group of scared and anxious and angry people is a terrible thing, a harsh judgment or a hateful explosion just waiting to happen. But harsh judgments and hateful explosions are only made by people who are defensive, people who are hurt, people who believe that they have been abandoned. And although we heard tonight that Jesus has ascended into heaven, unlike the first disciples, we know that this is not the end of the story. We are not alone. We live after Pentecost, and so Jesus' Spirit has been poured out upon us and abides with us. For Jesus ascended into heaven to be everywhere present. It's just as we say every week, we are the body of Christ. His Spirit is with us. His Spirit is with us right here, right now. We don't need to keep peering into the heavens, seeking a perfect body of Christ. We don't need to keep looking for an ideal people or church community. The body of Jesus Christ was wounded and scarred. And so the body of the church, such as it is, will always be wounded and scarred too. It will always be full of damaged and damaging people who share a desperate need for the one encountered in Scripture and sacrament and stranger, and who also share an extraordinary commission to go out into the world as witnesses to Jesus Christ, freely loving and forgiving friend and enemy alike. Because we are all wounded, we all lack faith. We often fail at this commission. Yet this is the one thing we've been told to do, to witness by living in love and peace from this day forth. We are not called to form a perfect organisation or to run perfect programs. Instead, we are to be the living proof that God is love and that God loves the world. Not idealized abstractions, but the material world, the real world, the earth and other people. And not just the people in the building, not just our families and friends, not just the people who share our point of view. God loves everyone already, just the way they are. And as people filled with the Spirit of Jesus Christ, we are to show that love. Do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you, and forgive, forgive, forgive. These are not nice theories, but our difficult practice, both inside and outside the church. We are heading towards Pentecost when we celebrate the Spirit being poured out onto all disciples, however damaged and broken. As we make this journey, these are things to ponder. And like the first disciples, while we ponder, We mustn't wait with our eyes to the heavens. We must turn our gaze earthwards. We must leave the hilltop and return to our place of healing, the place that we call church. John Calvin described the church as a hospital. But unlike the hospital in Yes Minister, this hospital is neither efficient nor empty. Instead, it is bursting at the seams with patients, and even the healer is wounded. Wounded and scarred, then, the body of Christ gathers each week to sing and to pray, to listen for the living word, and to love one another. Here, we can turn our eyes away from the empty skies and begin to see, really see other people. Here, we can learn to love others and learn that we are loved ourselves. And here, we can glimpse the one we long for. For when we worship and work and pray together and let the Spirit do its work, we will notice more and more moments which look or feel or sound a bit like Jesus, the one whose Spirit has been poured into the world and abides in us now. Of course, there will be many times when it will be hard to sense the presence of God made known in Jesus Christ. There will be many times when our courage will fail and we will wonder again if God is absent. There will be many times when we'll hurt each other and forgiveness will feel impossible. And yet we know that God is love and that is our task. And so we know that as long as love is here, real love, forgiving love, love across human boundaries, love through conflict and beyond, if that sort of love is here, then we are not alone. The Spirit of love and life is moving among us, and the forces of hatred and destruction and fear and doubt will never be the end of the story. We all bear wounds. We belong here in this creaky and inefficient hospital. Together we are called to open ourselves to the healing, loving, forgiving Spirit of Jesus Christ, letting it work on us and among us. For through the Spirit's power, we are called to heal and be healed. We are called to love and be loved. We are called to be the real presence of Christ in the world. For Christ is risen and here. His Spirit is with us and now. So if you're seeking Jesus, why do you stand looking up to heaven? Why are you seeking a perfect form? Just look around you, brothers and sisters. Just look around. Amen.